And welcome to our Ely team service for Sunday the 21st of June. My name is Ruth New and I am a licensed Children and Families Minister and the Children and Families Missioner at St Mary's. I'm really excited to be with you this morning. Whoever you are and wherever you are listening in from, you are very, very welcome. We're going to be joined by Phil a bit later on, who's going to be giving us our talk today. And we're going to continue with our journey through Philippians, thinking today about living the gospel. Today is also Father's Day, a day when many of us will spend some time showing our appreciation to our fathers or to a parent figure in our lives. For some of us, we may be meeting up for a socially distanced walk later, or perhaps a meeting virtually online. I know I'm meeting my father online for a quiz later this evening. But for others, it may be a time of grief. It may be a time of sadness, or it may be a time that harbours memories that are very painful. During this time, we can take comfort, whatever our family circumstances, through the love and support that our Heavenly Father offers, both in the good times, but also in the times when we are struggling and when we are suffering. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, you are with us in the darkness and in light, in our troubles and in our joy. We thank you. Help us to trust your love, to serve your purpose, and to praise your name today and every day. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. As we prepare ourselves for this morning's service, let's take a moment to still ourselves as we say together this morning's opening prayer. Faithful One, whose word is life, come with saving power to free our praise, inspire our prayer, and shape our lives. For the kingdom of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We come now to our first song this morning, Cornerstone. As we build our lives on Christ as our cornerstone, we praise him as Lord of all. The words will appear on your screen. Please feel free to sing along or to simply listen to the words and the music.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all. Seems to hide his face, I rest in his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless stand before the throne. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all.
Lord Jesus, as we think today about living our lives for You, on living out the gospel, we pray that You anchor us by Your Holy Spirit, that whatever storms come, we can hold on to You, to remain focused on You and stay close to You no matter what. Amen. It's now time for today's reading. The reading is from the letter to the Philippians, chapter 1, verse 27 to chapter 2, verse 4. And is read by Maggie. Maggie is a member of the Jam and the Messy Church teams at St Mary's. I'm then going to hand straight over to Phil for today's talk.
Life worthy of the gospel. Whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one Spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for Him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now I hear that I still have. Imitating Christ's humility. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others.
Good morning. The title of our sermon this morning is Living the Gospel. I wonder what you might imagine that might look like. My name's Phil Marsh. I'm part of St Mary's congregation, and Chris has invited me to share some thoughts on this subject as part of our sermon series based on the book of Philippians called The Way of Life. When reading this first part of our passage this morning, two facets of what living the gospel might look like come immediately to the fore. Paul is calling the Philippian church to a very public declaration of faith. To strive and contend for the gospel is surely a very public act. Indeed, it's why Paul himself is writing this letter to the church in Philippi from prison. His message is in direct opposition with the worship of the emperor. The Roman emperors of his day saw themselves as saviours. They saw themselves as building a kingdom that would last forever, and they declared themselves as Lord. It was a message hard to get away from as coins were distributed throughout the empire with the emperor's image stamped on them and the words, "The emperor is Lord," embossed around the edge. So you can see the problem. Paul is declaring that Jesus Christ is saviour, that Jesus Christ is building a kingdom that will last forever, and that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's what's got him into trouble with the authorities, and that is what he is calling the Philippian church to proclaim, to strive and contend for the faith together. So what we immediately see here is then that living the gospel is not a private affair. The Christian faith is not simply a matter of our own personal belief. It is actually something of a public declaration, a public way of life. Little wonder then that Paul writes, "Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know you stand firm in one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you." To be bold and courageous in their public declaration of faith, to live lives, as he puts it, worthy of the gospel, in any and all circumstances, is the first challenge we might pick up on. He writes openly to them that it may cause them suffering and hardship, sharing with him, as he puts it, in his struggles, and seeing it as a privilege to contend for the good news of the gospel as he urges them to stand firm. In all truth, many of us today aren't going to suffer for the gospel in the same way the early churches, or indeed that brothers and sisters in Christ in other parts of the world today do. But Paul's charge to live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ still stands. His appeal to faith that is public, rather than just private, despite the consequences, remains. It does make me wonder if there's times where I've been shy of sharing the fact that I'm a Christian, or of offering to pray for folk, or where I might have hung back a little bit, or not raised my voice in support of matters of justice for others. But take heart, this call to strive together, to live lives worthy of the gospel, to act publicly as Christians, is also to be done side by side. The second thing we might draw from this is that living the gospel is not something we're encouraged to do on our own, but we are encouraged to do it with others. The endeavour of publicly witnessing to the lordship of Christ in our personal spheres of influence, in our families, our friendship groups, our networks, and even our places of work or schools, is something that we support one another in. A couple of weeks ago, Matt invited people who wanted to find out more about home groups to be in touch with him. And 2 weeks ago, Graham spoke about partnering with others in the gospel and shared about his experience of working with others in sharing faith, and in being part of a small group and the difference that's made to him as a Christian. And I'm sure if you'd like to be involved in a small group, then Matt would be really keen to hear from you. These two things then start our thinking about what it looks like to live the gospel. Living out the good news of Jesus in our lives is both a public act, not just a private devotion, and a shared corporate act as a community where we stand together as one for the gospel. But our passage this morning does offer us one other aspect, I think, of what it means to live out the gospel in our lives that I think is entirely down to an individual response, and that is this: to do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but rather in humility, to value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Possibly we might hear that and say, yeah, I know that. I do that. Familiarity might make it trip off the tongue. It might leave us not thinking too deeply. We might miss the challenge of it by not thinking it through more thoroughly. This isn't just about being nice or overly kind to other people around us. This is to intentionally and purposefully orientate ourselves around the interests of others. It is to esteem the interests of others more highly than our own interests. It is to put others first in all things. And in Philippi, this would have been, again, countercultural to the honour-seeking culture of the Roman Empire. Not so much upwardly social climbing, but more of a downwardly mobile approach to life, in the manner of Christ's humbling of himself and serving of us. And in thinking about this, it's really interesting that Paul majors on this. He's talked about contending and striving for the gospel. He's talked about that bringing hardship and suffering. He knows full well the public cost of declaring Jesus Christ as Lord. But this he puts more emphasis on than that. This idea of esteeming the interests of others above our own seems to be the greater challenge for Paul. It's got me curious as to why that might be. You see, he doesn't talk about contending for the gospel and the suffering and the hardship that it'll bring. And he doesn't then go on to talk about standing up under suffering or enduring hardship. No, he goes to this place to say this one thing would make his joy complete. If you have any benefit of the stuff I've shared with you, if any sense in the things I've shared with you is meaningful, then make my joy complete by doing nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but rather in humility, value others above yourselves. This is what Paul longs for this church. Now, we might think, yeah, in all humility, I do that. And miss actually the real challenge here. I wonder if we might inadvertently skip over the start of verse 3, where it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. I mean, for sure, we are not in that Roman culture of honour seeking, right? But that sense of selfish ambition is about doing stuff that's just for our own benefit. It's about what we get out of it. So when we think about our Christian lives, I think a challenge we might offer ourselves is are our Christian lives principally marked by what I can get out of it? By having our seat in heaven secure, my relationship with God okay? Or are our Christian lives principally marked by how we live towards others in response to the love of God? Do nothing out of selfish ambition. And what about vain conceit? When we do good to others, when we seek to live the right way, is there any sense in which sometimes there might be some vain conceit going on in the midst of that? A kind of, look at me, I'm doing the right thing, right? On social media, I noticed there's quite a lot of comment these days made on some people's actions, characterized as virtue signaling, an accusation that people are simply wanting to be seen to be saying or doing the right thing. I don't really want to comment or judge on anybody's particular approach on that, but I am aware that there are times when I do something that I think is good or right, or that I consider noble, that I kind of sometimes want people to notice that, right? There is sometimes some vain conceit in doing good. This urging of Paul's to do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but instead putting other people's needs and concerns first, that's a real challenge. This is not just about the external doing, but also the internal heart and soul stuff as well. And the other thing is, this is not just asking us to put other people on the same peg as us. It's actually about esteeming the interests of others more highly than our own, to elevate others above ourselves. And there's something about this word others that means it's not just our family or friends or even just people we like. The simplicity of the word others actually becomes all-encompassing. Karl Barth, a German theologian writing about this passage, he talks about the others here as the strange, the different, and even the unintelligible. Are those people around us who we would consider to be strange, that we would instantly identify as different? I wouldn't mind betting that one or two faces are popping into your mind right now. Those people who, they just have such a different way of thinking about things, such a different way of doing things that they seem odd to us, or even offensive, or in some way they distress us. We find ourselves kind of in a position where we just disagree with them, and this kind of distance exists between us. There may even be those that we consider to be unintelligible. We just can't get our head around the way they do things, the way they see things, or the way that they are. And let's be honest, those people can be a real thorn in our flesh sometimes, can be those that really do distress us, the strange, the different, the unintelligible. What does it mean to value their interests and needs more highly than our own? Karl Barth is really interesting. He says that when we orientate ourselves around the concerns of the other, when we humble ourselves and lift them up above ourselves, that actually one of the things that we encounter in that moment, in that movement, is the very grace of God. He says, as we extend patience, as we extend grace, as we extend mercy, as we extend understanding, we encounter something of God's grace and mercy that is extended towards us. But we might be the strange, the different, the unintelligible. There's something about the movement of this passage that is about reflecting the movement of Christ. As Christ humbles himself to serve us, as he orientates himself around our needs and concerns, so this passage is calling us to do the same, to orientate ourselves around the needs and concerns of others. I think that's a really high challenge. And I'm really thankful that the call to follow Christ in living this way, to serving those around us, comes with the promise and help of God's Holy Spirit at work within us. And right now, of course, we can't consider this consideration, this orientation of ourselves around the needs and concerns of others, without naming George Floyd and the Black Lives Matters movement. Right now, it's front and center in people's minds, and rightly so, the seeking of justice and equality. Well, here's the thing, in Christian thought, I'm not sure that it begins with equality. Living the gospel actually begins with us lowering ourselves and raising others up. That's challenging, because that requires stepping down. Not just elevating people up to the same level as us. It involves us with being actively concerned to discover what the other's needs are. It involves us to be willing to discover where we might not see things right, where we might see things wrong. It's going to involve us being willing to look at things from another person's perspective, and not just imagining that we know the other person's perspective, but actually taking the time and energy to find out, to make the movement towards the other that, in a way that says, I want to value you, I want to esteem you, I want to know what's going on and what's going to make a difference to you. And I want to be in a position of seeking that with you, within our sphere, our interactions. It may also involve us visibly acting and speaking publicly and corporately together on these issues that matter for and with others around us. It will involve us pinning our colours to the mast as Christ followers, and lifting up the needs and concerns of others around us in our speaking and our acting, of taking on the nature or the servant of the other? That sense of quality of life that we desire for all people, I think, is found in the very heart of God. It's found in the very nature of the community of the Trinity, in the very nature of God that is seeking to build community for himself, so of making a people for himself, drawn from every nation, every race, every colour, every creed, every tongue. And here's the thing, we have been shown the way. This is what I think it means to live the gospel. It is to be good news for one another. It is to serve and lift one another up, and to orientate ourselves not around our own concerns, but around the needs and concerns of those around us. Whatever happens then, Paul writes, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, striving together, standing firm in one spirit for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. To live the gospel is a public act. To live the gospel is something we do together. And to live the gospel will require a lowering of ourselves in order to lift up and value others around us, that we might lay aside selfish ambition and vain conceit, that we might learn the humility that values others above ourselves, not looking to our own interests, but instead looking to the interests of others. I wonder, in a moment of quiet, if we might consider who that might be for us. And let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you came and met us in your Son. Dying and living, he declared your love and opened wide for us the gates of mercy. We give you thanks, Lord, for your love and mercy, for your generosity, for your acceptance, for your welcome, for your giving of yourself for our sakes. And we pray, Lord Jesus, as we receive your love and grace, that we might extend the same to those around us, that you might enable us by your Spirit to lay aside selfish ambition and vain conceit, and to give of ourselves in service for those around us, valuing and esteeming their needs and their concerns above our own. Forgive us, Lord, when we have been self-seeking, when we have guarded ourselves or kept ourselves quiet, and enable us, Lord, to extend ourselves into the way of life that you call us to, that we might together publicly witness to your love, not only in our words, but in our actions and our deeds, and the ways in which we treat and value those around us. Lord, we long for the day when all your children are free to praise your holy name. And we pray, Lord, that you would use us to bring your peace, your justice, your equality into our relationships and into the lives of all those around us, that we all might together play our part in seeing your kingdom come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Phil. As we continue to think and reflect on the themes of living out the gospel publicly, together, and focused on those around us, we are going to turn to our second song. Turn your eyes towards Jesus. Again, please feel free to join in with the words on the screen, or simply let the words and music wash over you as you let the Holy Spirit speak to you during this time. Lord Jesus, help us to turn our eyes towards you as we take up the challenge of humbling ourselves and focusing on the needs of others. Help us to do everything in the light of your glory and grace, rather than focusing on our own selfish ambition. Amen. We now come to our time of confession. Please join in with the words in bold. Jesus says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand." So let us turn away from our sin and turn to Christ, confessing our sins in penitence and faith. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. May the God of love bring us back to himself, forgive us our sins, and assure us of his eternal love in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We now turn to our affirmation of faith. Again, please join in with the words in bold. Do you believe and trust in God the Father? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe and trust in his Son, Jesus Christ? I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe and trust in the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We come now to our time of prayer, and I'm going to hand over to Becky and to Sophia, who are going to lead us today in our prayers of intercession.
Heavenly Father, we ask that you pour your healing love into this divided world. Guide us to bring peace, thought and love for all God's creations. We pray for the Queen as she continues to provide comfort and reassurance in these troubled times. We pray that our politicians and community leaders can find a common ground to work together to lead us through the ever-changing obstacles placed before us. We pray for our children and parents and ask that you guide them wisely as they continue to educate our children. As time changes and we continue to take steps into the unknown, we pray that you will show us a pathway through which we can continue to know you. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Dear God, I thank you for the NHS and for all the people risking their lives to save us. Thank you for the farmers who are braving the virus but are still producing crops. We thank you for being our refuge in these challenging times. We pray for continuous guidance and presence. We are sorry for when we doubted you and thought we could do it on our own. We trust that you are there, and for you know the beginning and the end. We pray that you will always watch over us and teach us how to trust you more. Amen.
So let's gather all of our prayers together today in the prayer that Jesus taught us, the Lord's Prayer. Please feel free to join in with the modern version on the screen or to say the more traditional version at home. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Before we move to our next song, I would like to hand over to Erin. Erin has written a poem to share with us called Grace. As we seek to live the right way, in the way Paul encouraged the church in Philippi, we rely heavily on the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Erin, in this poem, so fantastically reminds us of this.
This is a poem called Grace. Your grace has tangoed me, mambo fandangoed me, lifted me, shifted me, stunned me, undone me, found me, rewound me, schooled me, uncooled me, shaken, awakened me, never forsaken me, fetched me, stretched me, led me, fed me, taken me over, laid me in clover, stripped me bare, hipped me square, stitched me and hitched me up, floored me and shored me up. Pass the cup.
Thank you, Erin, for sharing that with us. It is now time for our final song, King of My Heart. as we sing or listen to the words, I pray. Lord Jesus, be the song in all our hearts today and every day as we live our lives for you. Amen.
Let the King of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from, oh, He is my song. Let the King of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life, oh, He is my song. You are good, good. You are good, good. Oh, you are good, good. Oh, you are good, good. Oh, let the King of my heart be the wind inside my sails, the anchor in the waves. Oh, He is my song. Let the King of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days. Oh, He is my song. You are good, good. Oh, you are good, good. Never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. 'Cause you are good, good.
End of our service today, I would like to say a big thank you to you all for joining us. Thank you particularly to those who have contributed to the service, to those who have prayed, read poetry, and to our fantastic worship team. Thank you also to those who support us financially during this season. Despite us meeting together online, the ministry of all the churches in the team continues thanks to your generosity and financial contributions. If you would like to find out more about giving to any of the churches that make up the Ely team, please contact the St Mary's Church office. You can email office@stmarysely.org or call 01353 659 550 and leave a message. Don't forget, you can find out all of the details of what is happening over the coming week by visiting the St Mary's website at www.stmarysely.org. If you would like to explore the themes from our sermon this morning, then do look at our midweek study materials that will be available via the St Mary's website from Monday morning. And as always, if you have any pastoral concerns or practical needs, please do contact the church office. We will do our very best to help and support you. Do also remember that St Mary's Church is now open Monday to Saturday in the morning between 10 and 12 for private prayer. Let us close our service now together by saying the words on the screen. Almighty God, we thank you for the gift of your holy word. May it be a lantern to our feet, a light upon our paths, and a strength to our lives. Take us and use us to love and serve all people in the power of the Holy Spirit, and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.